If you missed last week, or you're just joining us after a time away, we've just begun this sermon series on the love of God. Now, it might seem to many Christ followers, especially if you've been walking with Jesus for a majority of your life, that a sermon series on the love of God would be kind of like Christianity 101. Well, what are we talking about, Pastor? You're going to spend months talking about the love of God? Why are we focusing on such a basic principle? I mean, doesn't everybody know the love of God? I mean, you cannot walk in a Christ-centered church and not hear something along the lines of, God loves you, Jesus loves you.
Amen.
And that's a good thing. But it can, we have to be honest now, it can become somewhat of the go-to phrase that we use when we don't have anything else to say. Right? Like someone asked for prayer. My Aunt Petunia is really struggling with gout right now. Well, bless her heart. Tell her we're praying for her and that God loves her. My Uncle Wilbur accidentally fell into a cactus and he got these nasty infection from the thorns and both of his arms had to be amputated. Well, bless his heart. You know, my uncle lost a pinky toe when he stepped on a rusty nail. God bless him. Make sure you tell him Jesus loves him. Now, of course, the statement that Jesus loves you is a true statement, and I did say it in somewhat of a comical way, but I have to be honest with you and tell you that I've found that for many, if not most people, living from the actual place of confidence in the love of God on a daily basis is something that most of us don't know how to do. We don't know how to do it well. Very few Christ followers live as if the God of the universe has a great affection for them and wants to lavish his love upon them continually. I think it's because when troubles come in your life and your life feels like a roller coaster, just up and down and up and down, what happens? When that's happening, your emotions are literally all over the map. And when you get to that place, the head knowledge of the love of God doesn't really seem to be worth much. As Christ followers, you and I need more than just a head knowledge of the love of God. We need a fresh revelation of his love down in our heart, one that would lead to transformation in the way that we think, which then becomes a revelation that we can live by. We so much need this transformation and this revelation in us so that it can become the motivation by which we live. Now, it's important to remember that God knows that it's difficult for us to understand and accept his love fully. He knows that. He knows that the journey of learning to live from that truth can take some time for us to grasp. He knows that. And the good news is he's willing to reveal it to us slowly and patiently, so that we can have it settled down deep inside of us and become the thing that we live from. He also knows that he's gonna have to increase our faith all along the way so that we'll be able to trust in his love. Amen. As we take each of these new steps along the journey. And you need to know and hear me, because some of you, I think you abuse yourself in this area. You need to know that God is okay with your journey. He's okay that it's taking a while. He's okay that you don't understand every single thing that's happening. As long as you are continuing to choose to surrender to Him each step of the way. It's okay. Listen, I believe that God is going to, if you and I mean, gosh, if we can actually decide, and deciding isn't something that's once and done, it's something that is done repeatedly over and over, moment by moment. But I really do believe that if you and I can decide that we're willing to jump into this journey full force, like all in, I believe the Father is going to use this sermon series in our lives as help for us so that we can finally come to the place where we understand and discover the greater depths of His love for us. He's going to let us in this journey learn to live more and more from that love. I really do believe that God is going to use this journey to build in us this greater passion for Jesus because we start understanding how much we're loved. And I really do believe that you and I can discover more of His purposes, more of His satisfaction that He has for our lives, because we will begin to start receiving His love, knowing what it is, and then being able to freely give it out to other people. Isn't that the kind of life that your heart longs for? Isn't it? I know it is. I know it is. You know how I know? It has to be. There is no other option for the Christ follower because God Himself, the God who defined love by His name, lives inside of you and has created your heart in such a way that it can only truly function from His love. Amen. Which, dear ones, is why the enemy wants to try to fill your hearts with anything else that you will allow him to fill it with that can act as a substitute for the love of God. Listen. This is why you simply must choose daily to cry out to the Lord and say, I need an understanding of your love. You got to choose it daily. You cannot continue to negotiate with your sin, this sin that causes us to live this self-absorbed life. You know why? Because the self-absorbed, sin-filled life is the easiest thing in the world to pursue. It's so easy to pursue your own pleasure instead of pursuing the love of God. So we, as Christ followers, must challenge every desire of our flesh that would well up in us to try to keep us from moving forward in our understanding and taking in and living from the love of God. You cannot be a people who are self-seeking. When you see that, you've got to say no. When you see yourself seeking after things that would only bring you pleasure, you've got to stand up and take that straight to the Lord. When you find yourself seeking after more money, more influence, more time, more whatever it is, when you see that, you must challenge it. We have to be a people who challenge the pride of life that wells up in us. We must be a people who challenge feelings of hate. We must be people who challenge feelings of lust that rise up in us. Why? Because all of those pursuits work only to punish the soul of man. Every one of them will keep you as far away as possible from the love of God, from drawing life from the love of God, from knowing in your head, but yes, also in your heart, that you are dearly loved by God. Listen, in churches today all over America, sadly, repentance is not being called for. We must be a people who boldly stand and proclaim to you, church member, that you must repent. You must, you cannot continue to dilly-dally in your sin, thinking that nothing is going to happen because you've been able to tolerate the consequences so far. Listen, sin is always destructive. It always works to murder the soul of man. Every time that you willingly engage in sinful activity and you refuse to repent from it, you open the door of your heart and you allow the enemy to put his big fat foot in there, and you can't get out. He's in there. And it's because we continue to negotiate with it, and no one stands up and tells the church that you must repent. You must repent. Amen. It's not because we're trying to call you evil. Oh, you bad sinners. Stop it. It's because we love you. It is because God loves you. And he wants the best for your life, but sin that is negotiated with is stealing it away, and you're not getting the life and the godliness that God said you were, that was yours. You're not getting it. And so if you're here today and that message of repentance, it strikes you deep where you are, I'm glad, number one, I'm glad that you're challenged. That means that the Holy Spirit of God is in there and he is pushing on it, going, yeah, he's right. Listen to it. Repent from it. Turn from it. Come back to me. But why does he want you to come back? Is it because he wants to scold you some more? No, it's because he wants to love you. It's because he wants to pour life out on you. It's because he wants to renew your purpose and show you how to live in a way that brings you joy. We sang, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is not your strength if what you seek after for pleasure is your own physical need, your own desires for things, and you never consider God, you have no joy and it will not strengthen you. But God, in his vast, tremendous love for you, calls you to repent. Yes. Oh, dear ones, turn, turn, that you might experience his love. Listen, before we go any further, the only way that you and I are ever going to comprehend this whole love of God thing at a level deeper than just some basic head knowledge is if the Holy Spirit of God puts it in us and gives us a revelation of it. God himself in you through the Spirit of Jesus Christ must settle this issue of love for you. Wise words couldn't do it. You're not going to get it from this stage. It's only because of what God is willing to do in us that we will ever get it. And so I'd like to pray this over you. Father, I pray that from your glorious, unlimited resources, that you will empower us with inner strength through your Spirit. God, we welcome you to make your home in our hearts as we trust in you. God, we want our roots to grow down deep into your love and make us strong. God, give us the power to understand how wide, how long, how high, and how deep your love is. God, may we tangibly experience the love of Christ. Though it is a journey we will never come to the end of until the day of Christ Jesus. And may we be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus and for the glory of God alone. Amen. Amen. If we're going to be completely honest with ourselves, one of the reasons that we struggle with the love of God so much is, like we've talked about last week, and our feelings really do play such a huge role in our lives. Someone once said that our lives are like a roller coaster, and that's so true. Life is often full of these highs that are really high and these lows that are really low. And as our lives continue on and the twists and the turns, our feelings go along with that, right? We're not just emotionless beings. We've been given feelings by God, and they're good. Feelings are good, depending on if you've surrendered them to the Lordship and leadership of the Holy Spirit in your life, and if you remember that you've surrendered them to the Lordship and leadership of Jesus Christ in your life, in the highs and the lows. Yes. The circumstances that we're in so many times, because there is emotion attached to them, and because, listen, all of us, not, I mean, I don't have it all down. I mess it up. All the time we have to surrender these emotions, and sometimes these circumstances that we're in, they can go so low. They can be so devastating that if we're not dialed in to the Holy Spirit and letting Him define these emotions and refine these emotions, what can happen is that we can start to feel as though God doesn't love us. Or at least those kinds of feelings can make us feel that we are less loved than we should be. And since those feelings can fluctuate depending on all kinds of other factors, not just the highs and lows, but they can, you know, stress, that affects how I feel. Tiredness affects how I feel. Hunger affects how I feel. Relational problems affect how I feel. And all of us can really, when you add that into the mix, all of us can tend to be kind of a hot mess when it comes to understanding God's love and then how to relate them to His love to our current struggles, because we got all these things firing off in us going, oh, I don't know. So the question then becomes this: how can we begin to know we are secure in the love of God regardless of how we feel in the moment? Uh-oh. That seems like too big of a question for some of us. When my kids were little, Amy and I took them to their first amusement park. At amusement parks, there are signs. Aren't they so cute? Gosh, look at them. They're all big and grown now, but when you're at an amusement park, you've seen them, right? The signs. You've got to be this tall to go on this ride, right? And so as loving parents, Amy and I would have never allowed our kids to even be in a park where we weren't sure that they were old enough, that they were tall enough, and that they were physically able to ride the rides. But you know what? Even when we were sure that all of those things were there, they met all of those requirements, we would have never put them on any ride where we would have not had the ability to restrain them, secure them inside the ride. You can see the seatbelt on little Clary's lap and the handrail there that they're all holding on to, right? We would have never put them on that ride, even if they were tall enough, even if they were old enough, even if they were capable enough of grabbing hold of it and holding on. We would have never put them on the ride if we couldn't secure them for the journey, right? Here's something that you need to remember. Like any good parent, God never puts you in a situation that He doesn't know that with Him you are ready to walk through it. And like a good parent, as you walk through the emotional twists and turns of your life, God wants you to know and feel secure in His love for you. It's really important to God that you know and feel in your heart that you are secure in His love. Look at Romans chapter 5. Paul says this, starting in verse number 1, "Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God." That is peace with God, the God who defined Himself by the word love. "Because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us, Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into the place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward into sharing God's glory. The love of God was given to you, not by an act that you achieved, but by a work of God. You've been made right in God's sight by Him. It was given to you. It is meant to be your security. It's based on the work of Jesus and nothing else.
Amen.
This morning, I want to show you some things. Three biblical truths that God's given us that are to be used like a harness in our hearts so that we can know and feel and be secure in His love for the rest of our lives. These truths that we're going to talk about, the only way they're going to matter in your life today as you leave here is if the Holy Spirit is allowed to settle them in you as truth in the days to come.
Amen.
So as you hear these, they're not just something to be remembered. It's an invitation. Allow the Holy Spirit to begin to settle these truths in your life. The first one is this: you are secure in the love of God because His love is steadfast. Steadfast. Last week I showed you a verse in Exodus where God was speaking to Moses. Let me remind you about how God described Himself and how he put out there His divine attribute of love. He described His divine attribute this way, Exodus 34, verse number 6. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. The Hebrew word there for love used in this verse is the word chesed. Now that's a Texas Hebrew pronunciation. I'm sure in real Hebrew it's said totally different, but in Texas Hebrew it said chesed. Got to put that ch in there. It's the only way it makes it work. This Hebrew word helps us see what makes this love, His love for us, something that is steadfast, because chesed describes one whose love acts only from a place of loyalty, motivated by an unending, deep personal care. God's loyal love is never given based upon what you bring to the table. It cannot be initially given for that purpose. It cannot be increased based upon your sense of worthiness or your efforts. His love is only made known to you by the Holy Spirit. It is a gift of God's grace. It's accepted by you through faith in Christ Jesus. Listen to the prophet Jeremiah describe God's loyal love and how to live securely in it. Jeremiah 31, verse number 3, long ago, the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, that's loyal love, I have drawn you to myself. The phrase drawn you in the original language, when the original intended audience heard it, they would have understood that it meant to pull you up into something. So God is saying that He is a God who pulls you up into His love. The only way, listen, the only way that you and I as Christ followers are going to live securely is with this understanding of His loyal love, His steadfast love, is for God to continually pull us up into His love by the Holy Spirit and have us, as He pulls us up, begin to secure us firmly in the understanding of His love. Listen, we've got to stop striving to earn His love and allow ourselves to be pulled up into it instead. Listen, every time you and I choose that path of striving, trying to be worthy of His already loyal love, you know what it's like? This is the picture I get in my head. If you've had a small child in your life at any point, you understand what this is. You're like the one-year-old who wants to go to Nana's. You say, "We're going to go to Nana's." And they're like, "Oh, Nana's." Why Nana's? Because Nana has a candy drawer. And she doesn't have any restrictions on the candy drawer. So they go in there and they gorge themselves. And then she sends them home. So you tell this one-year-old, "We're going to go to Nana's." And they jump up and down. And they scream and yell. And do a toe touch. And they're so happy. But then you go to put them in the car seat, and they arch their back. And they're like, "Ah, I don't want to be in a car seat. I want to be in the car seat." When you want to live in the love of God, but you only want to do it your way. When you want the benefit, but you think you still need to strive to earn it. What's happening is you're not going to go anywhere because you're not falling into His love and accepting a love you could never earn. Instead, you're arching your back saying, "I must earn it. I must earn it." And you're missing the joy. You're missing the joy. We have got to get off of the performance treadmill. I am not saying that you need to be lazy in your walk with Jesus. I am saying if you look at what you do for Jesus as some way to earn it, you need to get off of that treadmill. You were created instead to do good works based upon the depth of your understanding and the joy of your understanding of knowing that you are so deeply loved by God that the source of love itself is so prominent in your life that the good works of God just flow out of you. That's how Christ followers are intended to live. You can get off of the performance treadmill, and you must. And you constantly strive to meet what you think God's expectations are. His love, it feels like, I'm doing it. He loves me. He approves. I think I'm doing it well. Yeah, I did that part really well. God must be so happy with me. What you're actually doing is living from a place of fear, rather than a place of settled confidence that you are loved by God, rather than achieving some desired outcome to prove, "Oh, if I just can get here, God will, I will know that God is pleased and that He loves me." When really, He loves you regardless of what you have ever done or ever will do. And when you keep trying to perform for His love, what actually happens is that you are operating from a place of insecurity, which leads your emotions to go to places of both self-pity and self-righteousness. Amen. All along the way. And you know what that does to you? Ultimately, it discourages your soul to the place that it makes you feel like God doesn't love you because you can't seem to do enough to win His love.
Amen. Yeah.
God promises to you and I that He will pull us up into His love. Our only job is to agree to His efforts. Agree with Him. How do you agree? The way we agree is through obedience and dying to self. By the way, both of those things are things God says, I will also help you do that. He's the source of life and godliness. You're not meant to perform for him. You're meant to run to him and give up and say, have your way in me. Have your way in me. Here's another way you can know that you are secure in God's love. You're secure in the love of the Lord because he loves you with the same intensity that he loves his son. I was recently reminded by this book that I'm reading about a time when I was a child and my grandmother had these, I think I was maybe first grade. My grandmother had these dandelions growing in her yard. And I can remember, again, I think it was somewhere around first grade. I can remember sitting on her front porch holding one of those and pulling the flowers off saying, she loves me. She loves me not. I was trying to see if this little girl in my class named Stephanie would end up loving me. And so I was pulling those off. She loves me. She loves me not. As it turns out, regardless of what that stupid weed said, Stephanie did not, in fact, love me. It's hard to base the validity of true love on the outcome of the petals on a weed. But you and I do this same kind of thing all the time with God. When the level of our confidence of his love for us is based upon our current situation or the current way that we feel, then it feels like one moment he loves me and one moment he doesn't. And this, dear ones, is a game that we have got to stop playing. God has already made it abundantly clear how much he loves us. Listen to this. John 17, verse 23, Jesus is praying for his disciples. He says this, I am in them and you are in me. This is the proof that we are secure in a steadfast love. He's placed himself inside of us. Listen to what he prays next. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. God has settled the issue of how much he loves you. He loves you as much as he loves Jesus. Stop and consider that for just a moment. The God of the universe never wanted his children to doubt the veracity of his love. So he put it out there in his settled word so that you would never doubt again. You are loved as much as he loves his only son. That's how much you were loved. And if you'll let him, he'll pull you up into that and secure you in it, so that you can learn how to live from it. And finally, you can know that you're secure in God's love when you learn that you are secure in the love of the Lord because he will let nothing separate you from his love. Perhaps nothing devastates the heart of man like lost love. Whether that pain comes from a love relationship that ends in dysfunction or because of the ultimate loss of love that comes through death, no one ever likes feeling lost love. It's a pain that cuts way, way too deep. And because we don't ever want to experience that kind of pain, that's a one and done, am I right? You experience that, you've settled the issue in your life. I don't ever want to experience that again. But what do? Oftentimes when we get to that place, we can take unhealthy views of love relationships in our lives. We see them as either something to be completely avoided, or we see them as things to be held on to no matter what, no matter what it costs. And the problem with this kind of thinking is that it only serves to further damage your soul. God loved you so much that he gave the life of his son on the cross so that you and I could accept his free gift of entering into a love relationship with you. And he wants you to know, and he wants you to be secure that you will never, ever lose his love. This is why he so emphatically stated in his word that you could never lose his love. You're never going to be outside as a Christ follower of the love relationship with him. Romans 8, starting in verse 38. Do not let the familiarity of these verses cause them to pass by your ear without contemplation. And I am convinced, Paul speaking, that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. That settles the issue right there. The Apostle Paul used this phrase, I am convinced, in other translations that you might be reading right now. He says, I am persuaded. As he tells this tremendous love of God that's never ending, he says, I am convinced of it. In the original language, that phrase would imply to the reader that God had persuaded Paul's yielded heart that his never-ending love was secure. Yes, yes. God wants to pull you up into that same knowledge. He doesn't want you to just know it in your brain. He wants to pull your heart up into it so that you feel safe and secure in his love, regardless of what the circumstances of your life happen to be doing in the moment. Oh, if we could get that. Oh, if that was the prayer on our lips every night. Let me know how secure I am in your love. Do you know why you worry? You worry because you are not secure in his love. Do you know why anxiety rules in your heart? Because the love of God has not become a settled issue for you. Oh, don't beat yourself up, dear ones. We all are in different levels of that journey. Don't beat yourself up. But don't sit still in it either. Amen. It's time for you and I to stand up and go, wait a second. Well, hold on. I'm not experiencing that. I want that. Some of you are like, well, I don't even know how to pray for that. I want that. Did I say it right? I want that. It doesn't take a lot of fancy words. It takes a surrendered heart. It takes a willingness to repent. It takes a willingness to obey. And all of those are given to you from the heart of love from God. You're created to feel secure in his love for you. And he wants you to know that his love for you is based in his loyalty to you. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to perform to keep it. He loves you because he is love. He wants you to know that that he loves you as much as he loves Jesus. The situations in your life, no matter how good they might be in a moment or how bad they might be in a moment, do not determine how much he loves you. That has already been determined. He told you in his word that he loves you as much as he loves his son. And finally, he wants you to know that his love for you will never stop. You don't have to live in fear that you've lost his love. Did I commit a sin that has made me somehow lose the love of God. No. No. Let me draw a hard line right there. If you are a genuine Christ follower, if you've come to Him according to the Scripture, nothing, nothing can rip you out of His loving hand. These are the three truths from God's Word that can help you feel secure in His love, but only if, I feel like a broken record, and I'm sorry, but only if you invite the Holy Spirit to pull you up into them and secure you in them and then convince you fully of them.
Amen.
And He wants to start that journey with you today. If you're here this morning, and the Holy Spirit is touching you in a certain place, and He's saying, right there, this is where I want to begin with you. We're all in different spots in life. Some of us have a settled knowledge of His love in certain areas, and in other areas, not so much. That's normal. That's normal. If you're here today and God is drawing you up and pulling you up into that, I'm going to ask you to do something that may feel weird to you, but it is kind of an act of surrender. If you need God today to pull you up into more of an understanding of His love for you and secure you in it, I'm going to ask you just to stand right where you are. You're not going to have to do anything else. Just stand. Just stand right where you are. If that's you, if you want God to pull you up into a deeper understanding of His love for you, and just stand up. Stand up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for your willingness to be vulnerable in the moment. I want to pray over you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask, God, that you would give us a deeper understanding of your love. God, we ask that you would pull us up in and secure us in your love. It's going to cost us. We're going to be called to places of repentance. We're going to be called to welcome the change that He wants to bring in our lives. It will require dying to self. God, I pray that for these who have had the courage to stand and say, yes, that's me, I pray, God, would you fall like a fresh and holy wind upon their hearts? Would you begin to do today, right now, this transformative work that you actually brought them here today to begin? They're standing not because they've decided. They are standing because you brought them and made yourself so desirable that they couldn't stand it anymore and had to rise. So God, do in them the thing that their heart desires. Show them your love for them. May they be secure in it. And may they come back, even this next Sunday, may they come back with testimony of how you've begun to reveal your heart of love for them. We love you, Father. We're so thankful we get to be your kids. As we worship you now, Father, may we throw open our hearts and may we declare out loud our love for you through worship. And may we bless your holy name in doing so. In the name of Jesus and for the glory of God. His people said,
amen.
Amen.